wanted to talk to you about trying to lock in the idea of what one layer deep actually means. And really when we get down to it is, how does the concept of one layer deep apply to different aspects of business or life?
Yes. So on this topic, let's talk about first what it is, like breaking it down. And, you know, there's different ways to approach it, but we want to teach the difference between surface level decision making and real clarity through, we're going to call it like the one layer deep lens, the one LD lens. You know, you want to establish that emotional connection plus professional relevance. When we're talking profession, so we're going to break it down to how do I apply this and where can I apply this? So one layer deep is not just a tactic. It's not just a framework. It's really a way to prime for the outcome you want. It's not about adding more steps. It's actually about stripping them down. And, you know, why is this way of thinking so important? Well, you know, it's the step before buying back your time. You can't go buy back your time if you're buying back inefficiencies or chaos. It really helps you build intentionality before your energy is spent. You intentionally know what you're going for before you waste all this energy running in circles and you feel like you really didn't achieve anything. So it's really not, why is it important? It's really not about minimalism, although I love minimalism. It's not about more work. It's about the intentional act of finding the one move that gets you to the closest outcome that you're looking for.
So what you just said right there is, you know, when you talk about organizing, it's not the act of decluttering, it's not the act of creating space, but it's pure intention. It's down to the closest you can get to intention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, what are the three steps that I can walk you through? So first, where can this come into play? Like when it comes to one layer deep, your work, like your profession, your marriage, your parenting style, and even your decision-making process. And, you know, how can you walk yourself through this? And so it's a three-step method and it's very simple, and it's simple for a reason, right? It's one layer deep, but it's simple for a reason, right? Step one is you have to know what you really want. Like, what do you really want? What is the outcome you're looking for? What are you trying to achieve? What do you want? It's not what you need. It's what do you want? What's that desired outcome?
And so why focus on what you really want instead of what you really need?
Well, because they're two different things. Sometimes, you know, I don't remember the example that we used the other day. You know, I need to do certain things.
Fix a car,
right? But if I want the Louis Vuitton bag, I will find a way to get that Louis Vuitton bag. Even if it's three credit cards later. Like courses that we sign up for, right? When you find a course you want to do, you'll sign up whether you can afford it or not. Like when I first started CBF with Debbie, like I didn't have the money. I could only afford to put the deposit barely on a credit card, and I had no idea how I was going to pay for it after that. And we hear stories all the time, but I wanted it. They sold you on that you need it. But in your mindset, if you need something, you'll push it off. But when you want it, you'll find a way to get it. So it's what do you really want? That's step one. Step two is you have to cut the BS. Cut the bullshit. Cut it out. Stop lying to yourself. Ask yourself when you're really cutting that BS, is, do I have time for this? When I cut the BS, do I really need this? Is it too complicated? Why am I doing this? Am I lying to myself?
That's a big one.
Right? Am I lying to myself? Am I setting myself up to fail? Cut the BS and strip it back away to the most simplest form that you can get to. And you need to make sure when you're cutting the BS, ask yourself, what is the BS? Is it busy work? Is it excuses? Is it fear in disguise?
I want to take a step into this. You said that there was a bunch of different ways, either business, life, a few other pieces.
Yes.
But insecurity and judgment, how you think other people will think of you.
Yes.
Are two things that come to mind for me that is a heavy hitter that I fail with. But cutting the BS, how does that apply with insecurities and perception?
Well, I mean, that one's hard. That one's probably the hardest to overcome, like insecurities. Example is, even I get it sometimes. Like all my friends signed up for some course and I didn't want it. I didn't need it either. But the FOMO was real. Like they were talking about it and they're so excited and it's great. And I'm like, oh my God, maybe I should have done that. Like, oh, I should have done this. And no, I took myself back and I said, no, I'm confident that I don't want it. I'm confident in my decision. And I think cutting the insecurities is just being the ability to be comfortable with yourself and your decision. But that's harder said than done, because that takes some, you know, coaching, mental work, working through that. But by talking yourself through these questions, like, do I really have time for this? Do I really need this? You know, when we make things complicated, even if it has to do with insecurities, there is a time impact, there is a financial impact, and there is a mental impact that we'll take into account, that we have to take into account when we're overcomplicating, creating complexity, or lying to ourselves. And that typically comes from insecurities.
Yeah.
There was a statement, is that simplicity is the other side of honesty. And so when we're lying to ourselves, at least I found this in my history, when I was lying to myself, I made it overcomplicated.
So dishonesty creates complexity.
Yes.
Honesty creates simplicity.
But dishonesty, I don't mean like you're a liar. I meant like when I'm not real and open and honest to with myself, it's like, oh yeah, I could do that. Oh, like let's add 25 layers to this SOP, or oh, let's buy a new shiny object, or like, oh, let's commit to something when I know that I can't hold that commitment because I was lying to myself. So when I lie to myself, I create complexity. I create it. I'm actually building it, I think, to avoid the real thing that I need to be doing. So if I create it more complicated, we're never going to get to the solution, which is a form of self-sabotage that I see a lot of, especially female business owners do.
So yeah, okay, that makes sense. So cutting the BS really means being real with yourself, being honest with yourself, mm-hmm. to shortcut or short circuit that initial feeling.
Yes. The more BS in your day, the more BS you tell yourself, the more you allow in, the more you feed yourself with it, the less clear you are, your customers are, your children are, your marriage is. And I think you have to just cut the BS. Because the stories we tell ourselves are, I don't have time for that. I need that too, and I need that too, and if I buy that, it will make it easier. So I think clearing the BS is hard for everyone. One of my favorite organizing sayings is like, you don't need, well, I can cuss on here, so it's like, if you have to buy shit to organize your shit, you might have too much shit. So, and that is the BS, like, hey, let me run to Target and buy more bins to get my house in order. But the first step is to get my house in order. Buying bins is the last step if I need them.
But getting your house in order is uncomfortable if you're trying to get rid of stuff.
That's the hard. So we could go to the hard. So the third step in that quick little breakdown is, what do you really want? Cut the BS. Do the hard thing. And this sounds really easy, but the breakthrough of doing the hard thing is the other side. It's the other side of avoidance. It's on the other side of avoidance, right? The breakthrough. And so you have to ask yourself, what are you avoiding? Are you avoiding feedback, boundaries that maybe you don't want to cross, or lines, or decisions that you don't want to make? I mean, how many of us have avoided a conversation with our spouse because we didn't want to cross that boundary, right? Or with an employee that we might have liked them, but we're scared that their feedback, they're going to ask for a raise. So let's not have that difficult conversation. So what are you avoiding? Because doing the hard thing sounds easy when you say it. Like when we wrote do the hard thing, it sounds like Nike, just do it.
Yeah.
Like it's easier said than done. But I think when you ask yourself these questions and you kind of coach yourself through, what are you avoiding? Is it feedback? Like how bad could it be? Is it boundaries? Is it a decision that you don't want to have to make? Like firing somebody or having a difficult conversation with your children,
mm-hmm.
that may be uncomfortable. And I think by you know, you have to weigh those hard things. It's fear versus regret. Are you okay fearing it or regretting it?
Yeah.
Fearing it is like, I'm going to do the hard thing. I'm scared, but I'm going to do it. Regretting it is you never had that conversation. You didn't do that hard thing. So
really you're saying, you know, do the hard thing so you don't regret. It's, yeah, do the hard thing so you don't regret. I mean, it's coming in from just cut the BS. It's taking your ego and putting it to the side.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. In the BS, you have to put your ego aside.
Yeah.
Like when I wanted to downsize the office, the organizer office, I was like, but I just put all these beautiful core values on the wall and we have plants and beautiful furniture. But it's a total waste. Total waste. I could give that money back to our employees. Because we went virtually remote in one of our offices and I was holding on to this beautiful office. But it was my ego. I had to cut the BS and I say, what was in the best interest? What did the company need right now?
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.
So that's a great point. Not to backtrack here, but you talked about wants versus needs, but you also talked about different ways to apply it in terms of business, in terms of life, in terms of communication. And so that very first step, real quick, what do you really want? Does that same thing apply with business, or is it a bit of a twist?
It is a bit of a twist, because sometimes the business may need something, but we don't want to do it.
So we want to do something, but it's not in the best interest of the company.
So the want applies more to like personal, like your life.
Desire.
Your decision-making kind of process on a personal note for like your life. But there's also a need. What does the company need right now? Typically, it's not the things I want to do. What does my marriage need right now?
So the need applies when it's outside of yourself.
Yes.
The want is the desire that you have with yourself.
And you can apply them in different ways. Just like I said, oh, I went to this course and I really want it. You probably don't need it. But wanting it, that desire, and it's okay to buy it. It's okay to buy the Louis Vuitton bag if you want it. But when it comes from a personal place, we will find a way to make it happen if it's a want, not if it's a need. That's why I use the word want and not need. When it comes to relationships like your children or your marriage or even your business, you flip that word want to need. What does the business need from me this quarter? What difficult conversation do I need to have with my 17-year-old son?
Because it's more than just you.
Because it's more than just me. And no, I don't want to have it. So flip those on those. It's just the way you kind of talk yourself through it. And we have a journal where you can actually ask yourself these things. Ask yourself, what's the thing you're avoiding right now? Why are you avoiding it? What's the worst thing that would happen? What are you afraid will happen if you do this hard thing or have that difficult conversation? I think the question, the way you walk yourself through these questions is probably the most powerful thing in the whole 1LD program, because you're going to actually have a conversation with yourself.
I've actually been doing that lately.
Yeah. And you have to ask yourself back to the hard things is, what will it cost you if you don't do that thing?
And usually it's not worth it not doing that thing.
Yeah. And so there's a phrase I want to use, and it's micro moves voices versus avoidance. Because sometimes we're scared to do it, but what if we do it in a micro move? Like small steps to get you to it voices total avoidance.
It's law of inertia. It's the movement.
Yeah, you don't have to fix it all at one time. You just need to start. And so think about, what's the micro move I could make to do that hard thing? That one hard thing, what's a micro move so that we're going in the forward direction, not stalling and standing still? So we just left a conference, and it was an amazing conference. So many businesses were there. But you saw a common theme with some. And the theme was, you know, I'm stuck and I don't understand why. I don't know why I'm the same size for 5 years or 10 years or 30 years. And you have to ask yourself, what are they doing? Are they doing the hard things? Or are they in total avoidance? Because if you're doing the hard things, you will grow. Momentum will happen from those hard things. So sometimes we feel like it's not fair that we're stuck. I'm stuck. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so mad at myself. Why can't I grow like everybody else? But are you doing those hard things?
Yeah.
Do you know what you want? Do you know what you need? Are you cutting the bullshit, the BS, overcomplicating, micromanaging? We call it helicopter CEO, like helicopter moms, helicopter managing, hovering over everybody, micromanaging them versus just knowing what you want, cutting that BS, and then do the hard thing in a micro move. Yeah, it's scary, but you don't need to fix everything. You just need to get started. And so, you know, there's a great saying, you don't need more time. You need more truth with yourself. Being true to yourself. You don't need more time. Me and Elon Musk have the same amount of time in a day, and I'm still trying to figure out how he gets as much done as he does.
And I think the truth to that is it's pure intention.
Yeah.
Every it's action.
Execution with intention. It had to be execution with intention.
Yeah.
Because I see people that are busy all day, but then at the end of the day, they're like, oh my God, I didn't do anything. Yeah. That's just execution, but without intention.
So you talked about something before, and I just wanted to circle back to it. Now that we're talking about intention and execution, you also talked about alignment. Mm-hmm. How does that play into this one layer deep equation?
Well, so in our program, we have those three, right? Alignment, execution, and intention. Well, I can't execute on something if I'm not totally aligned. Mm-hmm. Aligned in myself, in our values, in my leadership. That's more of like whether you're talking about a company alignment or personal alignment, but it's working on those, understanding yourself, like self-mastery. Most people can't even write down on a piece of paper what their goals are. They know them in their head, but they're scared to put them on paper. Writing a vision down scares people to death. And so you can't even have alignment if you can't do those things yet, because then you don't even know which way you're leading your team.
Yeah.
So how could you execute on anything? And so alignment and intention are kind of similar, but first you have to have alignment before you can really have intention.
So alignment is really coming to terms with things, and intention is locking it in.
It's locking it in. It's like you have it so locked in, you know what you want now. Now you can run.
So when we talked about business, how else does this apply in any kind of scenarios or an example? Do you have any examples that we can work through here, either business or personal?
So how can this apply?
So we can go through the example maybe of business first, because I know there's a lot of different ways you can apply it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're talking about one layer deep, let's just say it's a decision with a business for, let's say, a move in the department. Let's just say marketing. How do I apply this one layer deep to start, to kick it off in terms of like what I need to do or what needs to get done with marketing?
So, well, as far as business goes, I mean, we have the whole framework of what we do with time audits, and then we have a day in the life of interview. And because you have no idea what to cut, because you don't even know what people are doing. You don't even know what they're using. You don't even know what a day-to-day looks like. You may think you do, but until you see them write that down on a time audit sheet, a time analysis sheet, you're gonna have a really hard time even knowing which direction to take. And then nailing down and having it's almost like an interview for a job, but it's an interview of their current job. It's like, what are they doing? What softwares are they using? Who's handing what off to where? How many times is one video in marketing getting passed back and forth? And so you have to really gather all of the insights. It's like organizing a house. You have to get everything of one category in one spot, and you have to pile it all together to see, like, oh my God, like why do we have 15 video editing softwares and we're only using one?
So it comes into the question, what does the business really need?
Yeah. So then, you know, you drill it down, you gather all this information, and then you figure out what do we really need right now? And then you start cutting it all, like turning it off. You start analyzing kind of like their day to day, like how many times is somebody handing a video back and forth? Let's stop that. Let's now cut the BS. What do we really need? Well, right now, everyone needs efficiency and high performing people, because with the current state of the market, we need to be as profitable and as efficient as possible.
Yeah.
And so what do we really need? So we need a more optimized team. We need to get more content out quicker, and we need it to reach more people. Well, we don't know how to do that until we see, what are they currently doing? What does a day look like? What are they currently using for softwares? So we do the time analysis, then we do the day in the life of, and then we kind of audit all that to figure out what makes sense. Let's cut the BS. Like, why are we using all this? Why is this person doing this? Let's do that. Cut the BS. And then you do the hard thing. Like, you start to, sometimes this means laying off people. Sometimes it means promoting people. Sometimes it means someone stepping to a different department because maybe we don't need them in that department no more.
Or completely changing their workflow.
It could be, like I said, laying off someone, promoting someone, moving to a different department, or completely changing their day. And the whole outcome for the time analysis and the day in the life of interview is to help them do a better job at their job. It's not to fire anyone. When you do them, you will be mortified. sometimes you're like, holy crap, they're doing a ton in one day. Like, this is amazing. But there's so many simple steps that you can do to start the one layer deep. You just have to figure out at what level are you starting it. Department wide, it's big. It may not just be one layer. The mindset you have to approach is that one layer deep mindset. But a whole marketing department is giant. You have to take it person by person or category by category to figure out how do we really optimize this to get it to one layer deep.
So the one layer deep really can be scoped down to small chunks or small things mm-hmm. that you can take action on.
Yeah, it's a decision-making
for everything
process. Yeah, so for everything.
Everything, but you got to start small. You got to start specific.
Yeah, because if you start with a whole marketing company, you're going to get overwhelmed. It's just like anything else we do. We have to do it in small steps to exercise that part of our brain and our thought process. And the more and more we do it, the easier and easier it becomes for us. And then you can jump in to say like, hey, let's do this with our ops. What's the one layer deep look like for ops, which we're fixing to teach on in our ops department. And it's funny, I'm looking at some of the questions about what we're going to ask our ops department. And one of them is, what area that you feel is overcomplicated right now? Like, I don't really want to hear the answer, but I need to hear the answer. Actually, I do want to hear the answer. But it's like, what are you scared of? You're scared of the feedback. Mm-hmm. What if it's not great? But I have to ask that question so that we can peel away. Think of like an onion. It's not very sexy. It's not very pretty, right? But we make things so complicated and there's so many layers that to get down to the core thing, the thing that's important, you have to peel all those layers away because we've added so much complexity, so many logins, so many screens and tabs. I said on a podcast the other day, how many tabs does your office need open on their Chrome browser to do their job? Like, if they need more than 8 tabs open, it's probably mortifying and over complex, or we've made it so complicated. But no, I mean, that's what we're getting ready to jump in and do for our ops training. And so you can take this decision-making framework, right, this method, and apply it to everything from how do I parent my kids to my relationship, my marriage. You need to get clear and you need to get honest.
Great. So wrapping this up real quick for everybody, when you're talking about business, when you're talking about things outside of yourself, you use the practice of what does this really need?
Yes.
And when you talk about it internally to yourself,
it's want.
Want.
It's what do I really want? Right? External is what do I need? What does the business need? What do my kids need? What does my marriage need? Right? If it's about me, which you could say everything is about you, but if it's more internal, it's what do I want? It's your
beliefs,
desires.
Your desires.
It's your beliefs. It's your values. Right? It's your purpose. Will help you continue to achieve that purpose and not getting all muddled up in the process by shiny objects and distractions.
Cut the BS.
Cut the BS.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.